Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, this morning's gospel, we heard it a moment ago from Deacon James. It's a story of the wise and foolish young women, part of a wedding party, waiting for the groom and friends to start the procession. It's part of the customs of the Near East, both ancient and modern, so they were part of it. The foolish young women, as we were told, were kind of ready, but not fully ready. Apparently, it never crossed their minds that there might be such a long delay that the oil would run out. Maybe they were excited. Maybe they were in a hurry, forgot the extra oil. I always like to give people a little bit of slack in terms of motivation. And Ignatius of Loyola, is one of his principles of dealing with others in spiritual discernment, says, always give the best possible interpretation to the motives of others. Always presume the best. So we don't know. Maybe they were just excited, forgot. We know how easy it is to be distracted ourselves. Off in the car halfway to a party and realize the present is back on the kitchen table. Or to be off outside about something or other and realize you just locked the door and the keys are in your coat pocket. We know those kinds of things happen to everybody, anybody. Okay. The point is that we really should be ready, because we never know when an urgent call may come. Urgent and not quite expected, or maybe even unexpected. I had an interesting experience this week. I stopped this week as part of my preparation for our prayer together. I stopped at the local Company 1 fire department, just down the street, two blocks. I was on a walk, get a little fresh air. I had jeans on as part of the moment. And I knocked on the door of the fire department, and I introduced myself. I explained why I wanted to know how they were prepared. I said, I always heard they had boots ready to jump into if a call came. So they were really very nice gentlemen, and they showed me the boots all set in place. They showed me how they carefully arrange the fireproof outfits into the boots so they could jump into it. They showed me the oxygen tanks that were spread out so you could put your arms in them within an instant. They showed me where the helmets hung inside the trucks. They showed me where the axes were. It was a fascinating moment of discussion. And it helped make sure that when I said, an example of someone who's prepared for an emergency was precisely those folks down the street. We can make all kinds of lists of examples. Perhaps the expectant mother who doesn't quite know when the contractions will get serious and has her suitcase parked by the front door, ready to go to the hospital with a quick prayer for a healthy baby and easy delivery. But you never know those things. So there's lots of examples, actually. Being prepared for the last-minute urgency, however, is only part of what this parable is all about. Because it's one thing to try to be prepared when the only issue is the timing, and it's very different to be prepared when we don't even know what we're waiting for. That's a different thing. It's not just the when, it's the what. And again, I thought of the scout motto that says, be prepared. Well, you're prepared for you don't know what. So you put a jackknife in your pocket and you take some rope and matches and I don't know what all they take, but be prepared is the motto, so you got to be prepared for all kinds of things which you don't know. How does one prepare for the unknown? That's part of the issue. As we come toward the end of our ordinary time, end of the church year, we're asked to live with readiness for the coming of God. But the real point is that God comes in so many different ways. And maybe that's why the Lord selected a parable about waiting at night. Because God comes in so many different ways. The parable said, the kingdom of God will be like. I noted that. Will be like somewhere out there in the future. God came to save his people over history in so many different forms. That's why Scripture is helpful to all of us. It just gives us endless examples. God came in the form of Esther, Queen Esther, to save people. Our Jewish neighbors, family, friends are preparing, not too far in the distant future, for the Feast of Purim that celebrates the saving action that Esther took. And then there's a story of Judith, who also was a form of God. As a matter of fact, the story of Judith may well be an anti-war story that is supposed to stand side by side with Judas Maccabees and the bellicose stories of the books of Maccabees. But she was another form in which God came unexpectedly. And then there's Moses, who was told to talk to the Pharaoh, and he said, I can't even talk, I stutter. And there was David, when the family brought forth possible people to be anointed by the prophet Samuel. Samuel said, isn't there anybody else? And they said, oh yeah, there's David. He's out in the field with the sheep. They didn't even bother to bring him. God comes in unexpected forms. Or Jeremiah, who was a minor, wasn't even old enough to be taken seriously when his call came. And Jesus, a baby in Bethlehem, who would have anticipated that? In a manger yet, a cave. And the 12, bumbling, impetuous, called apostles, Peter, fishermen, some of them fishermen, but there was also a tax collector, and there was also a reformed terrorist in the group. God comes through unexpected people. God's invitation to compassion and generosity, I smile at this, but it occurred to me in the course of the week, sometimes even comes in the eyes of one of those little animals that are part of ads for the Humane Society, inviting us to be compassionate. I mean, after all, we do talk about Jesus as the Lamb of God. So that's not so far-fetched that God could use all these different things to come to our lives and invite us to be ready for when is one thing. To be ready for what when we don't know is quite another. The name Gregory, it's profoundly Christian. Gregory, in Greek, Gregorete, means be vigilant. It's one of the most Christian names you can find. Gregorete, be vigilant. Once in a while, here I am at the age of 76, I think, I wonder what friend God is going to send to take me home. Will I be wise enough to call it a friend? I don't know, but I wonder about. That's all part of some of these things that are related to the issue of this remarkable parable about the wise and the foolish young women in a wedding party. There are some truly desperate times when we need help, but we haven't a clue as to what form or shape that assistance might take. We really don't know. In the darkness of the night, when we can't find our way, when we don't even know where to turn, we're asked to trust that God will come in God's time and in God's way. And in God's way. Doctor sits down and says, cancer's returned. I really have no clue as to what kind of treatment could be possible, because there isn't any that we know of. The house foreclosure, having invested, payments so regularly and maybe scrimping to make them, and then suddenly learn it's not your house anymore. Where do you turn? Job, okay, need a job. 500 people in line with their application forms already made out? When you need comfort and nobody calls? Addiction of one kind or another and you just can't figure out how to get out of this? So how God will come is what we don't know. But what we're asked in this parable and in our whole faith journey is to somehow to trust that God will come in God's time and God's ways. Carol Houselander, a remarkable English spiritual writer of the last century, just a splendid writer. She wrote The Reed of God, for example. I pull it out every single Advent. It's about Our Lady. But she talks about the reed that is hollowed out so that the tune can come through it, or the chalice that's empty and waiting for wine to be turned into blood. Just remarkable reading. But I digress. Carol Houselander, great spiritual writer, wrote ironically once, and it makes me smile every time I think about it, about the affluent English woman who walked out of her very elaborate manor estate out in the country, sat under the oak trees sipping iced tea brought by her servants, and recited Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." And she said, "Well and good, but the psalm is really written for those so low in the valleys of darkness that they don't know when they can get out and they don't know how." Then to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want," makes sense. And that's what it's intended for. So we ask for wisdom, this parable, wait for wisdom. And we want the oil that's going to enable us to share some light on whatever life may serve up at any given moment. It's a wonderful parable. It's profound. And it's invitation to trust in God and in God who comes when and how God pleases is part of the invitation of these readings, the Word of God, on November 6, 2011.